In the house today, just turn to your neighbor and say, God has been so good. So good to me, amen. So good to me, to me, to me. Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. You've been so good to me. Is that somebody's testimony? God's been good to you. Not just to your cousin, not just to your family members, not just to those over there. But when you really think about it, God has been good to you. Amen. Amen. God's been not just good, but so good. To me, so good to me. If you would turn with me to Acts, the second chapter. Acts, the second chapter, the 42nd verse. Acts, the second chapter. The 42nd verse. Acts, the second chapter. The 42nd verse. New Testament book of Acts, the second chapter, Acts 2, 42. And it reads as thus, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. My brothers and my sisters, on this Father's Day Sunday, I ask you to join me in a word of prayer as we share on the sermon subject, It Makes Sense Now. It Makes Sense Now. Let's look to the Lord. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you for this moment that is yours. We thank you for your grace and for your mercy. Now grab a hold of me and use me to your honor and to your glory. And we thank God that you shall get the glory in this place. Send fire from heaven. Send the preachers and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, save, heal, deliver, set the captive free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. It makes sense now. My brothers and my sisters, on this Father's Day, as we come to celebrate fathers, as we come to lift up those who are here with us, as we come to celebrate the legacy of those who have passed on, as we come to celebrate what it means to be fathers, that I've come by to talk to somebody about the fact that sometimes, even in growing up, I don't know about you, but the stuff my father did just didn't make no sense. Amen, somebody. Have I got a witness in the house today? I'm talking about Orlando Lee. Amen, somebody. The stuff he did just didn't seem to make much sense. It didn't make sense because as I was young, I just did not understand his reason or his perspective or the reason he did some of the things that he did. And I couldn't understand why he needed me to make my bed. I did not understand why I had to do chores. I did not understand why I couldn't do things when I wanted to, the way I wanted to, in the way I wanted to. I did not understand why he was such a stickler for certain details. Back then, it did not make sense. And I don't know about you, but there's sometimes in life when you look at what's happening in your life and some things just don't seem to make much sense. That when you look at how things are going, when you look at what God is asking you to do, when you look at the things that God's laws and God's dictates, that some things just don't seem to make much sense. That when you're looking at the way God wants you to handle your body and look at the way God wants you to deal with people, when you look at the fact that God wants you to love your enemies, when you look at the fact that God wants you to pray for those who despitefully use you, when you look at the fact that God wants you to give 10% of what you get, when you look at the fact that God wants you to hold it until marriage, when you know you'd be good to get some before marriage, when you look at the fact of all these things, some stuff just doesn't what makes sense. When you look at the fact that God wants you to talk a certain way and walk a certain way and live a certain way, when you look at the fact that God doesn't want you to curse them out, even though they deserve to be cursed out, amen, somebody. But when you look at the fact that God does not want you to get back at them, when you look at the fact that they're talking about you, but God don't want you to talk about them, when you look at the fact that they're hating on you, but God don't want you to hate on them, when you look at the fact that God has all of these interesting ways that God wants you to live, sometimes it just does not make what sense. And even as I was sitting here trying to figure out and navigating what we were going to be preaching, and knew that the next thing I was supposed to be preaching was this second chapter of Acts, this 42nd verse, as I looked at the scriptures, I looked at the birth of the church, as I looked at what we call our apostolic fathers, if we look at the disciples who were able to birth the church, we find ourselves looking at the early version of the church. We look at the church right after the day of Pentecost, right after 3,000 had gotten saved, and the Bible talked about some of the things they did. And at first, that stuff just didn't seem to make much sense. But as I looked at it, I realized that many of the things that the apostolic fathers or the fathers of the church did are same kinds of things my daddy did. And I realized that when I looked at what they did for the early church and I looked at what my father did for the early me, I realized that it started to help some things to make good sense. And so if you don't mind, I'd want to look at the scripture, look at my life, and be able to help us to understand how things make sense now. One of the first things I understood to start to make sense was I started to understand that it was a father's job to wake you up. It's a father's job to wake you up. I don't know about you, but I used to like to sleep. Amen, somebody. I don't know about you, but it was rough getting me and my brother, Reverend Bill, up in the morning to get ready for school. And it used to drive me bananas every morning that my father would walk up in the room and shout, "Feet on the floor, feet on the floor." Amen, 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 amen. It wasn't good enough for you to say, "I'm up." Amen, somebody. He'd say, "Come on, y'all get up, y'all get up." He wouldn't say, "Y'all get up," because then you could be like, "Oh, Daddy, I'm awake, I'm awake." No, no, no. You were not awake until your feet were on the floor, because my father understood that he could tell you to get up. You could say you were up, and he would leave the room, and you would be right back asleep. Amen, some. Have I got at least one witness in the house today? I used to drive me bananas. I'm talking about, if you want to see me and Reverend Bill go baddie, 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 you wait until we are at the family retreat. We have a family retreat we do in September in Massanutten. In Massanutten, I'm talking about, we good and grown. Got one of them houses in Massanutten. My parents got one side of the house. We got another side of the house. We sitting there grown. I'm talking about, we in our 40s grown. Amen. Amen. And still, my father will still walk up there in the middle of the morning, "Feet on the floor, feet on the floor." I'd be wanting to throw something at that man. Amen, somebody. I just did not understand. But what I came to realize is, it's a father's job to wake me up. Amen. It was his job. It was his job to make sure that I was awake, to be able to be who God had called me to be. And that means something in this day in which we say, in which we hold such a value on the hashtag of being woke. Amen, somebody. Everybody talking about they woke. But let me help you. Everybody that's woke ain't really woke. Amen. Because everybody that's woke don't got their feet on the floor. That everybody that's talking about their woke is Twitter woke. Amen, somebody. Everybody is talking about their woke is Instagram woke. And so, and they like me still in the bed talking about, "Daddy, I'm up." Amen, somebody. But my daddy understood that I got to get him up. Lord have mercy. It ain't just enough for him to have his eyes open, but I got to make sure that he is up and feet on the floor. And I've come by to talk to somebody today, because when you look at the early church has said that they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. The apostles' teaching and fellowship was when they were coming together as a church body, and they had to be able to learn and grow and understand, because the apostles had to get them what? Woke. Had to get them woke because they were so caught up in the old Jewish traditions. They had to understand that Jesus came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Had to get them woke because they had to understand the faulty system that killed Jesus was wrong and Jesus was right. They had to get them woke to be able to understand that Jesus had been risen from the dead, and the Roman occupiers did not have the authority, but Jesus had all power. I had to get them woke to let them know that the Messiah had come. Okay, that went over somebody's head. Let me help you here today. It would be crazy for me to just talk about Father's Day as we celebrate in this end of June, in this weekend of June, and not be able to talk about the fact that 2 years ago there was a domestic terrorist Act in Charleston, South Carolina, in which the Emmanuel 9 and Emmanuel AME Church were killed by a white supremacist. It would be a shame for us to come in here and just give God praise and we not remind you that we still got a fight in this nation. It would be a shame for me to preach a sermon and not get you woke. It would be a shame for me to preach a sermon and not talk about how Philando Castile's murderer got off. That's right, I said a murderer. I know he was found not guilty, but he murdered that man. It would be a shame for me to talk about the fact that that man had a legal gun on him, but the NRA don't want to fight against his rights, about the fact that he was legally carrying on the National Rifle Association. Fight for everybody else who's carrying legally, but now they grill quiet because it's a black man who got shot by a cop. But I got to get you woke. I got to let you know that just because we in church don't mean you ain't got to fight, but you've got to take the word of God and get some fight up in you to let you know, yeah, all lives matter, but black lives matter too. And you've got to make sure that you understand that you've got to wake up. It's a father's job to wake you up. Second thing is, it's a father's job to make us say our grace. It's a father's job to make us say our grace. On Mother's Day, Reverend Dr. preached, and she preached, God is great and God is good. Amen, somebody. Y'all. And God's grace is sufficient. And it was an interesting thing because I was sitting at the radio station today talking to my board op, who was assisting on the board op, a member of ours, and she was talking about the fact that they wanted to take their grandfather out. They wanted to take him out, but he didn't want to go out. She said, but you're 70-something years old. We just want to take you to the restaurant. He said, no, I want to have a cookout at my house. I want to have a cookout. I done bought all this food and I want to cook out. And she could not understand why her grandfather would not let them take him to a restaurant. And he said, I don't need to go to no restaurant. I want to have everybody over the house. I done bought all this food. I want to cook on the grill. Because y'all know black men, especially, amen, somebody. If you want us to have a good time, give us some fire and some meat and we're going to be all right. I'm talking about, you give us a grill. You give us a whole bunch of our loved ones. You give us a whole bunch except the grill on the grill, and we're going to have a good time. Because if it's anything a man likes to do, he likes to set a fire and put some meat on the grill. Have I got a witness, brothers, in the house today? That sometimes you ain't got to take me to no restaurant. Just let me get out with some ribs on the back porch and be able to light the grill up and do what I do. Amen, somebody. And somebody in here, you've got to understand that when we look at the scripture, what blew my mind about the scripture was, and it said the early church devoted themselves to the teaching and the fellowship. That was going to church and getting taught. But then it said the breaking of bread and prayer. The early church understood that they were going to come together. If they were going to be together, they had to fellowship and eat together and pray together. And fathers, help us to understand, you don't got to take me nowhere. Just let me bring everybody together and let's break bread and let's have a cookout and let's have a cookout and have a good time together. But not just that, but fathers, understand that when you come to the cookout, there's something you got to do before you eat the food. And what is it? You got to say grace together. Is there anybody in here who came up with an old school father who wouldn't let you eat nothing until you had blessed your food? Is there anybody here who said, no, everybody get your hands together around the table and we're going to bless this food? Why? Because they had to understand that it's not just about what you get, but it's about who gave it to you. And when you get connected to not just what you receive it, but the one who gave you everything you received, and you learn how to say thank you for what you've been given, then that's when you can have some power up in your life. And I've come by to talk to somebody today because you've forgotten the fundamental lesson of how to say your grace. You've forgotten the fundamental lesson of how to say thank you to God for everything the Lord has given you. You think you did it. You think because you worked so hard that you earned it. But can I tell you, God didn't have to give you the health in your body to go to your job to earn what you earned. And you've got to learn that every good and perfect gift, it comes from the Lord. And every time I go and I receive, I've got to say, God, I thank you for everything everything you've given me. I thank you for everything you've done. I thank you for every way you've made. I thank you for every door you've opened. I thank you for every door you close. I thank you for the bills you paid. I thank you for the food on my table. I thank you for the clothes on my back. I thank you for the activity of my limbs. I thank you for waking me up this morning with my right mind stayed on Jesus. Have I got anybody in here that can give God and I thank you praise? Fathers, make us say our grace. The third thing I'm going to be gone is fathers make it do what it do. Good fathers make it do what it do. The scriptures talk about and all the believers were together, had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. It's an interesting thing when you look at the scripture. When I look at the scripture, it reminded me, it talked about how they had all things in common and how they would sell their stuff to help somebody else out. And it reminded me of an old episode of Good Times. Anybody got a Good Times testimony? Of an episode of, anybody remember when they used to have the rent parties on Good Times? Anybody remember that one person had a challenge paying their rent? And so they would throw, Wanda had a problem paying her rent, right? And they said, everybody threw a party. They threw what was called a rent party. Young people, this is Black history. They would throw a rent party. And at the rent party, everybody would come and pay to get into the party. And the funds they raised at the party, Lord have mercy, would pay that person's rent. Because they understood we had to all come together, Lord have mercy, to be able to make this thing happen. One of the things, y'all know I've said it before, but I believe that one of the things we've lost, and one of the things I thank God my daddy was my daddy was a James Evans kind of a man. He was a James Evans kind of a father. What do you mean, Reverend James Evans kind of a father? Well, he beat me like he was JJ. Amen, somebody. But that's not what I mean. That's not what I'm talking about. But I am talking about James Evans was a no excuses kind of a man. He was going to try to do what it do to make sure he took care of his family. And James Evans could lose a job at the chicken joint in the morning and have a job at the car wash by noon because he was going to make sure that he had done whatever he could do to make sure his family was taken care of. And if you look at the community that is found here in the early church, there are a community of folks who had to do whatever they could do to make sure each other was taken care of. I learned a lesson as a young man coming up, watching my father. My father is a high school graduate. All he has is a high school diploma from Anacostia High School. I watched as my mother has an art in. She's got a bachelor's degree. She's got two master's degrees. And she's got a PhD. But what I realized was that for all them degrees my mama has, my daddy helped pay for every single one of them. Because my daddy, Lord have mercy, was a James Evans kind of a man. That he understood. He said, son, my job is to make sure that every dream your mother has comes true. He said, my job is to make sure that them two boys we've had birth to arise to become two great men to God's honor and to God's glory. He said, I may never have my name written in light, but your mother gonna shine and y'all gonna shine if it's everything that I do. And I watched my father sacrifice every day of his life. I watched my father with his high school diploma have a good work ethic. I watched him do 20 years in the Air Force. I watched him do another 20 in the Secret Service. I watched him make the kind of money that folks who had a couple of degrees had just because they worked hard. I watched my father decide I'm going to raise my sons. And they may act crazy right now, but they ain't crazy. And they will be who God has called them to be. I watched my father as he declared over our house, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I watched him as he said, I'm going to make it do
do, what it do. Is there anybody up in here that knows that I don't care who you are? Sometimes in your life, you got to learn a lesson from a father to say it's going to do what it's going to do. I'm not just talking to fathers right now, but I'm talking to everybody that I don't care what you've got to do. Stop giving yourself an excuse about why you can't do it. Stop giving yourself an excuse about why it can't work out. Stop giving yourself an excuse about what can't happen. Here you have 12 disciples in the midst of a Roman Empire, but they didn't make no excuses. They made it do what it do. And now over 2,000 years later, there's a church to God's honor, to God's glory, because they would not give up. Have I got somebody in here that says give up is not my vocabulary? I'm going to make it do what it do, because if you get me and the Holy Ghost, that's enough. If I got anybody in here that knows I'm going to make it do what it do, my children shall be who God has called them to be. I'm going to make it do what it do. My community shall be what God has called it to be. I'm going to make it do what it do. My finances shall be the prosperity God said they shall be. I'm going to make it do what it do. My relationship shall be the healthy relationship I deserve. I'm going to make it do what it do. And if you can't do it with me, I'm going to move you up out the way and find somebody who can do it too. Have I got somebody that will give God some glory and give God a do what it do praise? Make it do what it do in my health. Make it do what it do on my job. Make it do what it do in my family. Make it do what it do in my church. I'm gonna make it.
Just stand all over the church, all that are able.
Time is out for excuses about why you can't do what God has given you the ability to do. Time is now for you just to the power of the Holy Ghost make it do what it do. I don't care what went wrong. I'm telling you, Jesus can make it all right. And Jesus can take what went wrong and work all things together for the good of them that love the Lord, called according to his purpose. I don't care what it looks like in this nation. We come from people who've made it do what it do. We know what it's like to face domestic terrorism. We've been facing it our whole time here. We faced it on plantations. We faced it in the midst of segregation. We faced it in the midst of institutional racism. We faced it our whole time here. This ain't nothing new. But we've got to make it what? As a church, we cannot let everybody else be quiet and we not raise our voice. We cannot let a movement get quiet. We've got, isn't it interesting? Y'all listen to me. Y'all listen to me. And I just hadn't planned this, and this ain't even Father's Day-ish. When we had a black president, we protested harder in the streets about black folks getting killed and police getting off. We got a crazy president. I'm sorry. And now everybody who was, see, this blows my mind. When we had a black president, a black attorney general, and all that kind of stuff, everybody was talking about, we got to shut it down. We got to shut it down. We got to shut down every street. And we needed to shut it down, because we need to bring political pressure. We need to shut it down. Now we got a white attorney general who is trying to turn back the clock to the crack era, the drug wars. And now all of a sudden we can't even find nobody out there shutting nothing down. You was shutting everything down when it was convenient. We have to be in a space that we can really speak truth to power when those in power don't look like us. And it's clear the penalty is going to really be something. We cannot allow what is happening in this nation to continue killing our brothers and our sisters and folks walking scot-free. When you follow all the rules, and they can still kill you and walk away, then it means we've got to level the playing field. If you're in the house, that was just Reverend Tony Lee. Amen, somebody.